This is Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
508, welcome back. Turning our attention a little bit to our question of the day today, at least for right now. Does the RCMP need a national overhaul, in your opinion? So we've been talking about some of the failures that have been highlighted in this report released today, and been having a few conversations here about this, not the first time, of course. The RCMP management and bureaucracy and culture have all been called into question, kind of laid out here in this report. Your thoughts, welcome. 580-580, you can tweet us at CFRA Ottawa. We're going to get to the reactions so far that we have seen on that so far today. The Prime Minister, first off, weighing in, he says the government will take some time to respond to the inquiry and the more than 131 recommendations that were made here. He did not take questions on this report today.
We will take the time now to properly digest and understand the recommendations and the conclusions and the opportunities that the Commission has put forward for us to take up. There's no question there need to be changes, and there will be, but we will take the time to get those right.
And Commission Chair Michael McDonald, in presenting this 7-volume report today, included specific steps to reform the RCMP.
We are calling for major changes to RCMP oversight, processes, and culture. A process to rethink the structure of policing in Nova Scotia, a national review of public alerting, greater focus on addressing and preventing the root causes of violence in our communities.
Commission Chair Michael McDonald also appealing to Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and Nova Scotia Premier Tim Houston to heed their report's 130 recommendations to prevent something similar happening in the future.
Our recommendations call for transformative change. They call for collaboration. They call for leadership. They call for you to champion these recommendations so that our communities in Nova Scotia and Canada will be safer.
A number of failures outlined here in this report today, which of course will still take time to go over, thousands of pages, 7 volumes. But the 3-member commission here finding the Mounties failed to notice years of warning signs from killer Gabriel Bortman before he ended up shooting 22 people, including an RCMP officer. Some of those more have to do with intimate partner violence on that aspect of it as well, that there needs to be more of a streamlined process in dealing with and recognizing the danger of escalation that is inherent within some of those domestic violent situations. So the RCMP being told to deal with that as well. But also just on the general sense of not warning the public, not telling the public there was a police car that was being used in this attack as well until hours after it was too late. Difficult day for everyone in Nova Scotia today and those families as well. We have seen at least one family speak out today. The brother of one of the victims here. I have to go back and find that clip earlier, but Sean Levy speaking out saying that he hopes the RCMP also listens to what's being laid out today in terms of recommendations, in terms of the failures that it's been brought to the public forefront with this as well. So Scott McLeod, the brother of shooting victim Sean McLeod, saying he hopes this report will do some good.
If we can get the positive side of this and move things forward, it will, you know that these people didn't lose their lives for nothing. If it makes a positive change that's nationwide, it'll be appreciated, I know, by families.
Lots of reaction pouring into the RCMP. That is our question of the day. Do you think it is time for a top-to-bottom review, an overhaul of the RCMP when it comes to national policing in this province in wake of this report? Your thoughts, welcome. George in Ottawa, West Texas. I think it was a politician. These people didn't lose their lives for nothing. Yeah, I know there was a family member as well. But just another aspect of that says, I hope they sue the RCMP for millions of dollars and win. I feel terrible for all the victims' families. Very difficult, and it's been a very long time, right? 2020, April 2020. It's been, in the wake of the pandemic as well, the first month, really, that the pandemic had taken off, but it has been a very difficult 3 years for the families as well, sitting through this inquiry. It must be so difficult as a member of a family. This is what has always stuck out for me, is just not being able to do anything to protect your family and police, you know, sitting on this information, knowing that the police, you know, a police car is being used in this, not sending out an emergency alert. It just, it boggles the mind how one can kind of work through that logically. It just, it doesn't make any sense. And the RCMP having to answer to that. Moving forward, not committing so far to any of the recommendations included today, but the commissioner of the RCMP very much apologizing today for the failures that led to this. And not just the explosion of violence, but the escalation to get to this point as well, and the situation that we did see in Nova Scotia. So the RCMP offering up an apology today, but no concrete taking on of these recommendations, as Michael Kempa mentioned earlier on, a criminologist with the University of Ottawa. They did receive this report yesterday, so they're saying they're going to take some time as well. But, you know, some of this stuff, very easy to kind of jump on to begin with. But we'll continue to watch the RCMP if they do make any changes or overhauls within the system in terms of how it responds to some of these situations as well. I should note that Michael DeHamel, too, is the interim RCMP commissioner, taking over for Brenda Luckey after she resigned, not picking up her contract for another term. So still, the next person who heads the RCMP on a full-time basis is going to have a colossal set of work on their hands. 5:15, this is Ottawa Now. I'm Andrew Pinson in for Christy Cameron today. You can keep those texts coming, 580, 580. Is it time to overhaul the RCMP? And if you can
be next to me. This is Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
5:20, welcome back. A question of the day, do you think the RCMP needs an overhaul? Do you think anything meaningful change will come from this latest report? You can text us 580-580. You can also tweet us at CFRA Ottawa. Text here says the RCMP doesn't need an expensive overhaul that victimizes taxpayers. Like other government agencies, they require a dose of accountability. Whoever's idea was to not alert the public about someone in a police cruiser clone driving around shooting people should be named and shamed. And unfortunately, they were in this report, in fact. But the idea that it wasn't one person, it was a collective as an organization not to do this as well. Turning away even, you know, other police agencies at that aspect too. The Truro Police nearby saying we can help, but the RCMP saying, hey, we don't need your help. It's a bizarre set of circumstances as well. But I take your point that perhaps you know, an inquiry into that aspect or a complete overhaul. Maybe it's not needed. Maybe it's just some common sense reform on that aspect. But tough to look at this. 131, most of them talking about RCMP reform. Tough to turn a blind eye and say that we don't need some kind of change, but perhaps not the overhaul. I'm not sure. But your thoughts, welcome. 580-580. You can also tweet us at CFRA Ottawa. On that political aspect, too, we were talking about last hour. New Nanos research poll showing some unfavorable numbers for the federal Liberals after the federal budget announced earlier this week as well. The polls showing the two main opposition parties gaining headway, the Liberals and the Conservatives. Liberals appear to be in what Nick Nanos describes as a free fall.
All of the key indicators are not trending positively for the Liberals. Like, for example, preferred prime minister. Usually whoever is the prime minister has some sort of advantage. Right now, Pierre Poilievre outpolls Justin Trudeau. He's at 29-26.
And that is the first time that's happened in the Trendline survey as well. We did hear the similar things from Angus Reid and other polls in the past couple of weeks as well, that although Trudeau has been at his lowest level of support, that he hasn't been more popular than Pierre Poilievre. But the trend line here with Nick Nanos of Nanos Research showing that that has happened for the first time. Nanos says Trudeau should also be deeply concerned about the polling numbers regarding party support. He says if an election were called today, it's likely a conservative majority.
You know, the ballot numbers, you're talking about the ballot numbers. Conservatives 35, Liberals 29, NDP 19. That's a conservative win.
Now, Nanos further indicating how unique these numbers are in terms of recently. He's explained that the Liberals since 2015, when they were first elected, have had a steady lead over the Tories, but now the tables have completely flipped and consistently.
Usually the Liberals have been doing better over the course of their mandate, but right now it's like everything's going wrong. And the Conservatives have wind in their sails, and the Conservatives have the upper hand right now, at least in the tracking numbers.
Something the liberals no doubt concerned about among all the other political machinations at play right now, right? Foreign interference. We've got more pressure on the RCMP to make some reform as well. So looks like the liberals are starting to get into some trouble when you look at the trend line from Nick Nanos, but just the trend line across the country as well with all polls, right? None of these are outliers. They are showing continually that the liberals are losing support. And who knows? We're chatting with Tom Mulcair in our political heat panel earlier on this week. You know, he still speculates that we're heading to an election this fall. We're still going to speculate about it. We're still going to talk about it. But we don't know. We don't know the next time we're heading to the polls. That's kind of the issue here, too. Very fascinating. 5:23 here on Ottawa Now. Chatting a little bit earlier, Danny, I wanted to mention, too, just to update a little bit earlier, our April Fool's joke.
Yes.
Yeah. Just if anybody had any, that was our Confession Thursday topic. Anybody had any good April Fool's joke or memorable April Fool's Day jokes? Texas 580-580, tweet us at CFRA Ottawa. We had a couple from earlier. Some very simple ones as well, Wayne, with Vaseline car door handles.
Sometimes shrink. It just needs to be simple. That's it.
That's it, yeah. Usually, and undetectable.
Yeah.
Shrink wrapping a boss's car was another one. But I was kind of thinking, I didn't even realize we were talking about the prank master general.
Yes.
Mr. Stephen Bunda. Who I didn't even realize was in today, but he is in the building. I meant to ask him about this as well. I'm going to have to do that before the end of the show to ask him. I'm sure he's got a Hall of Fame.
Oh,
but this is the
yes.
other thing is that he doesn't take credit for his pranks, weirdly enough.
No. He gets
You'll
a
find
weird...
the most strange things hanging around, right?
Yeah.
He's, I don't know, that's weird, eh?
It's a and weird he just won't... sick satisfaction.
out of the chaos.
Yeah.
So I'll definitely have to talk to him about that coming up.
One thing I do like to do, though, lately, with Lever Sage, TSN, he'll be deep into conversation with somebody, and I'll just come up behind him very quietly and just whisper in his ear, boo.
Oh,
and
wow.
It scares,
I was going to say that is, him. Well, it is pretty creepy.
Yeah, I know. It is very well creepy. Done. It's just ever so slightly and just quietly, boo.
I have this ongoing thing, but it's more of a, it's more of an issue, I guess, with Lee, where it's, I always, he always wants this big send up, right? Like, it's Lever Sage, right?
Yes.
Hello? But I'll always, whenever I end up, I rarely do it because I'm making fun of Lee. But I'll do it. But whenever I do it, it is such a, like an inopportune time. He's on the phone trying to talk to somebody and I haven't realized. So just like, I feel so bad for him. There's been a couple of times where I've been like, wah-ha-ha! And he's just like, please stay away from me right now. But the other kind of newsroom faux pas I wanted to mention, because this is the only time where we can... You know, I'm open to the death penalty here.
Okay.
Yeah, we're into it, seriously, right?
Yeah.
So apparently Crocs are back in style.
No.
Oh. Crocs are back in style. So sales have increased 200% in the past 4 years. Oh. 200%.
No.
So it wasn't that they were ever out of style. I'm just I think people are kind of, you know, what's the word that I'm looking for?
No
resigned
words.
To it?
There's
They're
no
resigned
words.
To it. But the idea that it's kind of coming back, I just find that kind of interesting in a sense of what has changed, and perhaps I just think maybe people are just more open about wearing Crocs. But there's a couple of people here, one in particular that wears Crocs in the newsroom.
Yes.
And I'm no fashion expert, but I hate Crocs.
Mm-hmm. And who is that person?
I hate
Andy?
The sight of them. I'm not going to add them like. But Stark market value apparently on Crocs is soared as well. I found this very fascinating. Retail consultant Malt Powell. Matt Powell talking about this earlier today.
You got some really talented footwear people there who are keeping the brand fresh, keeping the brand in front of consumers. But at the end of the day, the shoes are just really easy to wear. They're extremely comfortable. They're easy to take care of. They don't wear out and they come in a bunch of crazy colors. So you can have a lot of fun with this brand and the consumer is definitely doing that.
So Powell says Crocs did really well during the pandemic because they speak so loudly about comfort, and that message continued as we return to a more normal lifestyle. So it appears the pandemic has also turned more people onto Crocs. So beware out there.
I don't like it. Meanwhile, I'm saying it as I'm wearing slippers in the newsroom.
Oh boy,
but
that's a little bit different. I'm still in the winter boots. I haven't been able to transition yet.
No, it's you don't know what to wear because today, again, you look outside, beautiful and sunny, but you go outside and it's near freezing.
Fake. You know what today
or
would
freezing.
Be a great day for?
Fake spring.
Crocs.
There you go.
I think Danny's saying she wants everyone in the newsroom to start wearing a pair of Crocs.
No, I will burn them. Do they burn? Do they burn easily?
I'm not sure. I think that's more of a singe type thing. But a couple of texts here on The best April Fool's pranks you've either had done to or done to as well. We'll keep those going, coming up towards the end of the show as well. So keep those coming. Text us 580-580. Tweet us at CFR Ottawa. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back here on Ottawa Now. I'm Andrew Pinson in for Christy Cameron. 538. Welcome back. Some breaking news happening out of the U.S. It's finally happened, I guess. Donald Trump has been indicted by a grand jury in New York. Mr. Trump will be the first former president to face criminal charges. This just coming down in the past few minutes. The precise charges, not yet known at this point, but it has been focused on hush money payments to porn star Stormy Daniels in the lead up to the 2016 campaign. So, recapping, breaking news, what we know right now, a grand jury has voted to indict Donald Trump in New York, the first former president to ever face criminal charges. We'll bring you any developments we have on that story with you until 6 o'clock tonight before we hand it over to CTV News at 6. 538, this is Ottawa Now. I'm Andrew Pinson in for Christy Cameron, and a little bit closer to home here. The Brockville Food Bank experiencing some very serious demand. It's got a new survey out showing that since 2020, demand is so far up 49%. Now, food inflation continuing to climb, that has been stretching out cash donations, also making it more difficult for everybody involved. And joining us to chat about that is Allie Andrews DeRazio, the operations manager with the Brockville Food Bank. Allie, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I know we've commonly heard this story just in terms of food banks across the country dealing with higher demand, but what we're seeing here, you know, nearly 50%. How have you been dealing with that?
It is honestly thanks to my volunteers. We are purely volunteer run. I am the one employee that we currently have. And due to the volunteers and my community around me, we're able to sustain and be able to get groceries out the door. We were a little bit concerned about what was going to happen, especially seeing such a significant increase in users since from 2022. So yes, we just make sure that we are fully stocked and include in that we purchase, and I wouldn't be able to purchase what I do at the amount that I do if we didn't have the donations that came in from the community last year.
Yeah, no kidding. In terms of making ends meet. Now, I know speaking from here in Ottawa, there is, you know, kind of several agencies working together as one for the Ottawa Food Bank in that aspect. But just I'm assuming in the Brockville area that, you know, you are the one-stop shop. Do you have any partners in the area that have also been trying to help where they can?
We do. So we are the only food bank in the area, but we definitely have lots of churches and Loaves and Fishes, which is our community kitchen, that all offer free to low-cost meals to our community members and to our visitors. So as much along with the food that we give out, we also give out this information to say, go and visit. Go make sure that you're getting a part of these community meals. And they offer take-home meals, too, for if there's an accessibility issue, that kind of thing. So we do try and work hand-in-hand to provide as much accessibility to food as we possibly can.
And, you know, it seems like, you know, money at the grocery store for everybody has gone, I guess, less far and less far, if I can put it in a not great way. But just from your aspect, I know the usual aspect is that you have some buying power as the food bank. Do you find as, you know, food prices have gone up that you're also kind of losing that buying power on some aspects?
100%. Yeah. I mean, we can, and I can look to our different providers and stretch that dollar. But lately, it's getting harder and harder to stretch that dollar. So last year in food costs, we spent about $316,000. And I believe this year, even just, you know, how far we already are into the year, which is not very far, my costs are going to far surpass that. So, in that being said, one of the food items that we provide is meat, and that is something that is costing us quite a bit. So, we have to look for different avenues to be able to bring that into the food bank and offer it to our visitors.
And I guess as you continue to try to, I guess, make ends meet here, what does this say about kind of the status of the economy right now? It seems like, you know, more people are in need right now as prices rise and what has happened? Go on.
They really are. We're seeing weekly I see new visitors at the food bank. And I mean, we have people who come in who are working full-time jobs, who have full families. And that's another thing too, is we have from ages 0 to 18, and they come in with their families, about 400 of the 15,000 visitors that we see a month, 1,500 visitors that we see a month, 400 of them are between the ages of 0 and 18. So it's a pretty big increase with school-age kids and families who are just looking to be able to provide for their families for the day-to-day.
And just in that aspect, too, I know many people have been, you know, somewhat embarrassed to speak up and say that they have been to the food bank. But just on that aspect, to, you know, to reiterate that that is what you are here for.
That's 100% what we are here for. And I it's close to my heart to break that stigma, because when I was in school, I was paying for a lot of things myself. And I maybe because I was in a social service program, it helped me feel like that stigma, I could break it a little bit more. But I myself was a food bank user. I had to. There were no other options. And I mean, I wouldn't be where I am today if I didn't use the services that were available to us.
And somebody just, you know, on that fence, right, who needs the help, but maybe just a little bit hesitant, what would you say to them? Just, you know, just go for it, right?
I would say, yeah, just go for it. Come on in. Go to your local food bank. It's always going to be awkward walking through those front doors, but as soon as you get in there, I guarantee you those volunteers, the staff, they're all there and they're all doing it from heart. So they're going to make you feel welcome. And by the time you leave, I think you'll feel a little bit more refreshed about food banks and maybe have a little bit of a positive spin on your day, and go out thinking, okay, well, this great. Now I have some food to fill my shelves and I can think about something else.
And I guess if anybody was kind of listening and they wanted to make a donation specifically to the Brockville Food Bank, what's the best way to kind of do that at this point?
So there's a couple ways that you can do it. So you can come and email us and send us an e-transfer. You can go through Canada Helps, which is an entity that we are part of. So if you go onto our website, all the ways to donate are right on there. But two of the biggest ones would be to email us and just say you want to make a donation and we can set up an e-transfer for you, or going on to the Canada Helps website and finding the Brockville and Area Food Bank and sending a donation in that way.
And thank you for all your information and your perspective on this, Allie, this afternoon. I really appreciate it.
Not a problem. Thank you so much for having me.
Allie Andrews DeRozio is the operations manager with the Brockville Food Bank, chatting about their 49% spike in demand over the past 3 years, according to a new report that they've put out. So just one of many food banks across this province, across the country, still struggling to kind of help those. Heartbreaking to hear Allie talk about some people even with full-time jobs, right? Having a difficult time making ends meet at this point. So just keep that in mind out there. Lots of economic consternation out there, even if we haven't hit the quote-unquote mild recession we're expected to as of yet.
Take us with you on your Apple CarPlay or Android Auto through your iHeartRadio app. It's Ottawa Now with Christy Cameron on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Every week you can enter at CFRA.com for your chance to win $100 in Lotto 649 with Encore. Lottery tickets with the new Lotto 649. Saturday's Gold Ball jackpot is $56 million. Also a guaranteed $1 million prize, plus the classic jackpot of $5 million as well. So today's winner is Carmen Jones.
Oh, hold your calls, America. We have a winner.
Congratulations, Carmen. You too can be a winner by entering at CFRA.com. Good luck. Welcome back. This is Ottawa Now. As I mentioned before the break, some massive breaking news. South of the border, Donald Trump has been indicted by a New York grand jury as well. Joy Malbon on CTV National News Channel speaking about this moments ago.
Witnesses, including Michael Cohen, a former fixer who once said he would take a bullet for Donald Trump, testify that Donald Trump instructed him to pay off Stormy Daniels. So was this defrauding, falsifying business records, or does it get bumped up? We don't exactly know because, of course, it is under seal. But the vote to indict is just a remarkable, remarkable moment in history.
And I want to emphasize, as you did, Joy, that this is the reporting from CNN and New York Times at this point. We haven't independently confirmed it. But if you could help remind our viewers that this was supposed to happen a few weeks ago. The president was himself putting out a note saying, hey, I'm about to get arrested. That day came and went, and then here we are a few weeks later.
Yeah, I mean, Donald Trump predicted that he would get arrested. And he was telling his legal team that he wants to be handcuffed. He wants people to see this. Now, he's under Secret Service detail, so there will be negotiations for him to surrender at some point to face these charges. There will be a mugshot. He'll be fingerprinted. And if he gets his wish, he wants to be paraded in public because, of course, politically, this is advantageous to him. He has called this political persecution from the get-go. And of course, you know, as some of these more serious charges are out there, this seems less significant, put it that way. But we still really don't know what Alvin Bragg, the district attorney, is going to say. It is interesting to note, though, that Alvin Bragg, I mean, a lot of people thought that this would be pushed off so a more serious case, like the case of the classified documents, mm-hmm. could be looked at. But Alvin Bragg was threatened. He received death threats and even white powder. I mean, that's how politically charged all of this. But Donald Trump, he does hope to come in person and be fingerprinted, have that mugshot. And of course, this will rile up his supporters. And that's why we saw such a big police presence, a type of circus outside the courthouse, because of the fear, of course, is Donald Trump has been demanding that his supporters protest to get out there and be angry and kick up a storm should he be arrested. Now it does look like he's going to be indicted for this Stormy Daniels hush money affair.
Mm-hmm. Joy, appreciate your insights so much. Thanks very much. I'm sure we'll have you back as soon as there's...
I'll be speaking with Vashi Capellos on CTV National News Channel right now as Donald Trump has been indicted in New York after a probe into payments to Stormy Daniels, a porn star in the lead up to that 2016 election. Of course, as it was mentioned by Joy as well, Michael Cohen has already spent time in prison for this alleged crime. So there was an unindicted co-conspirator in that case. This is what this is right now. Still lots to find out when it comes to this. We don't even know the charge at this point. So we'll continue to follow this right into the news tonight at 6. CTV News at 6 coming up your way and throughout the rest of the night here on News Talk 580 CFRA. Thanks so much to producers Ethan Fink, Danielle Dubé, Chris Viss for everything that you've heard today. Until next time, Ottawa, stay safe. Be well.